Shabbos Mevorchim. Correct?
Yes.
Shabbos Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos.
Yes.
Shabbos and Sunday. That means next Shabbos, we have a very big dilemma, what to do about the Haftorah. Mitzad Echad is the Shiva de Nechemta. Mitzad Sheini, Hashemayim Kisi. Okay, so next week we get into trouble with the Haftorah.
So they double up.
It's not so simple what to do. It's not so simple what to do. It's a machlokes. There are different minhagim what to do next week. That's next week. This week is Shabbos Mivorchim. And Mimela Rosh Chodesh, we're already coming to Elul. In the olden days, they would say that when Shabbos Mivorchim, when they would say Rosh Chodesh Elul, people would faint. This Shabbos, when they announce in Shul, Rosh Elul, it's the Yom Hadin. Elul. Elul is the Yom Hadin. It's the Zman Yiblo Shofar Slichos. It's a hachana for the Yom Hadin. And it really hits you hard when you are, it's one thing, you know, it's a very gradual process. When you get
the symbolism of the parasha
of this week's parasha. It's about Shuvah, Yerushalayim.
That he was on the 40 days.
Begins Rosh Chodesh Elul. Very good. It's a lot of the ideas are found in Parashas Ekev. Only this is Parasha.
He was asking for forgiveness for 40 days, and that's why Rosh Chodesh Elul begins that Shuva process for Yom
begins.
Kippur 40 days.
Moshe came down with the second Luchas on Yom Kippur. So he went up for the third time on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Exactly. So this week's parasha, so the process of Elul is gradual. When we get to Tu B'Av is really the beginning. It's 45 days. That's already the beginning. That's already the beginning of the Yomim Noiroim season. You can already say a Ksiv Chasim Toiva on Tu B'Av. But when you get to Shabbos Mevorchim, oh, Rosh Chodesh, Elul Yieh B'Yom Shabbos Chodesh. By the way, a halachic thing. When do you say umocharosai?
Yeah.
When you mevorech the chodesh, and it's 2 days. So the common, this is what people, there are different minhagim, so you cannot say anyone is wrong, but the most common approach, which is viewed to be correct, is you only use the word mocharosai when you're separating Shabbos and Chol. So if Rosh Chodesh would be on Friday and Shabbos, you would say B'yoyim Shishi U'mocharosoi B'yoyim Shabbos Chodesh. If it's Shabbos Sunday, it's B'yoyim Shabbos Chodesh U'mocharosoi B'yoyim Rishay. You use the word Mochar to separate Shabbos Chodesh from Chol. But if it's 2 days in the middle of the week, B'yom Rishon, B'yom Sheni, B'yom Shlishi, B'yom Revi'i, you do not use the word Mochar. You do not, you only use the word Mochar when you have one of the 2 days is Shabbos, one is not, and therefore it would be correct tomorrow for the Baal Tfilo when he says Rosh Chodesh El Yeh B'yom Shabbos Chodesh U'mocharosoi B'yom Rishon. Because you use the word mochar to differentiate, to give the Shabbos an added buffer zone, to give it its sanctity that it deserves. Okay. But in any event, that is just a public service announcement. Now, getting back to the parasha. The parasha begins with Vayekev Tishmon. I want to tell you a vart. It's a very beautiful vart, which is one of my favorite verloch. I just want to add a little nekuda, which I think is true, maybe not, but I think there's a truth to the Vart. And the Vart begins with a Vart from the Griz. The Griz, the Brisk family, the Mishpachas Salavechik. And there's a beautiful Vart, opens up the parish with a beautiful Vart. The Hoyoy will be Ekev Tishmon. If only you will listen, Rashi says, Ekev refers to the symbol of mitzvahs, Sha'adam dosh ba'akovav, whatever it is, but v'haya eikev tishmu'un, if you will only listen, eis ha'mishpatim ha'ele, ushmartem va'asisem ha'isam, and you will guard them, you will do them. And then it goes on to say, what will be the reward? The reward will be v'shamar, Hashem will guard, Hashem elokech l'cha for you, l'cha, es ha'bris, v'es ha'chesed, asher nishpa la'avay secha. Rashi over here writes, Yishmor l'cho haftochosai. He will guard his promise. It sounds from Rashi, from the simple translation of the pasuk, zuchus avos. If a person will behave well, will be a good person, you'll do what you're supposed to do, you'll be a shomer Torah mitzvahs. So not only is Hashem going to reward you for your own good deeds, Hashem is going to remember the avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The pasuk says, "Vishamar Hashem lokech lucha sabris v'yesachesed asher nishba la'avosecha." Hashem made an oath, took an oath to our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that He's going to give us Eretz Yisrael. He's going to be good to their children. Hashem will be good to the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we are the beneficiaries. Hashem will be good, to true to His word, but we got to do our part. We have to also be good. We have to be Ekev Tishmon. That is the Pshutoy Shel Mikra. Along comes the Griz, and he says, what? Correct, correct, correct. There's bris of us. Okay, so far Hashem will guard the bris. Let's be more precise. Whatever it is, like I'm not. That's not the focus I want to talk about. But it basically means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reflect upon His relationship with our ancestors, and He will remember that He promised our ancestors that He will be good to their descendants, which is us, through a bris, a covenant. Okay. And now Hashem will be true to His word, because we are deserving. Our ancestors were good. Hashem made a promise to them. We are the beneficiaries. But Hashem will only allow us to benefit if we behave. So now that we behave, it'll kick in the promise that He made to our ancestors. This is the Pshutoy Shel Mikra, the simple translation of the pasuk. Along comes the Griz, and he says the following idea. His question is, why does the pasuk use the word vishomar? If you were writing the pasuk, you would have used the word vizochar. Hashem will remember the avos. Hashem will remember. What do you mean Hashem is going to guard? So he says, the only time we need to really come on to zuchus avos, bris avos, is only when we misbehave, when we're not behaving. Mom, it's just the opposite. When we're not behaving, then we're in a lot of trouble. And Hashem, you're not behaving, I'm gonna give you a patch. But you know something? You come from good stock. I know who your parents are. I know your grandparents. I know your ancestors. So you know what? In their zuchus, in their merit, I'll give you another chance. I'll give you another chance. So, and yet the pasuk here says just the opposite. And that's exactly the point. There are only that many chances Hashem gives us. You don't want to use up Hashem's goodwill. The pasuk says, according to the Griz, v'hoya, if you'll be good people, you'll be tzaddikim, ekev tishmun es ha-mishpotim o'ele, u'shmartem v'asisim o'isam. You know what? Hashem will take the bris of us and the schus of us. He'll put it away for safekeeping for a rainy day. V'shomar, we will not need to come on to the zuchus avos, the bris avos. V'shomar, Hashem will take that goodwill that is owed to us, He'll put it away in a safety vault for safekeeping for a rainy day when we'll need it. We won't have to use it up. And in the meantime, we'll be able to live in this world on our own merits. Yeah?
But you see in Shimon Esrei, first thing, Elokei Avraham.
Because when we dive in, we have to acknowledge that we're sinners. So we're desperate.
So every davening we're desperate.
Yeah, to a degree. We're coming for Hashem, Slachon, Kichotanu. We're coming to ask things that we do not deserve. Okay, there are many dimensions. Now, what I want to add, I want to add one more little prat. Because you look in the Baal HaTurim, later look at the Baal HaTurim, the pasuk goes on to say, Va'ahevecha, Hashem will love you. Uveirachecha, He will bless you. Ve'hir bechan, He will multiply you. In the Baal HaTurim, he writes, what does it mean over here Hashem will vahevich, Hashem will love you. Bizuchus Avraham. Shenemar Zera Avraham Oyhavi, my beloved. Uverachicha, he will bless you. Bizuchus Yitzchak. Shenemar Vayvarich Elokim es Yitzchak. Vahirbicha Bizuchus Yaakov Shenemar Prey Urivei. Multiply. So the Baal HaTorim seems to contradict the Griz, because the Griz is saying that if you're going to be good, if you're going to behave yourself, Hashem v'shomar, Hashem will put away for safekeeping. Hashem will not need to come on to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But yet the very next pasuk says, the very next vahevicha uverachicha v'hirbecha. In the zuchus of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So it seems that the Baal HaTorim's idea, it's not a kasha, because I am part of the Torah, you can darshan, it's just a remez, you would say that the Baal HaTorim is obviously not working with the idea of the Griz. Either is Rashi to a degree. Rashi also doesn't seem to say this. So, they don't, okay, two passing ships in the evening. One doesn't know from the other. But the truth is, I think it's not, it's just the opposite. And that is, think about it in your own. Think about it from your own perspective. If you are a principal, make believe you are a principal, you are a teacher, and you have in your class a student, and the student is the child of someone that you love very much, someone that you cherish very much, and the student can either be a good boy or a bad boy. If the student misbehaves, you really want to give him a patch. But listen, I know who he is. I'm going to have rachmonis on him. I'm not going to throw him out of the class. I'm not going to embarrass him. I'm not going to hit him. You'll stay where you are. Because zuchus avos. What happens if the student's very good? He behaves and he's a tzaddik. So what do you then say? Oh, the goodwill, like what the Griz says, oh, the goodwill that I would need, that I can put away for another time, for a rainy day. That goodwill, I'm not going to waste that goodwill on this, because he's very good. But does that mean I'm not going to love him even more because of Avraham, because of who he is? Adarab, you're not taking away. It only enhances the zuchus avos. In other words, there are two types, I'm trying to suggest, there are two types of zuchus avos. There is a zuchus avos that when you use it, it gets spent up and it's gone. There's credit. There's a zuchus avos of credit, and there's a zuchus avos that's not credit. It's infinite. When a person misbehaves, you know you misbehaved. And normally I wouldn't give you a chance. Normally I would throw you out. One second. You know something? Zuchus avos, you come from good stock, you're probably a very good person, you made a mistake, whatever, however it works. It has to be fair also. Okay, no favoritism. Has to be fair. Zuchus avos, I give you another chance. You do a second avera, I'll give you a second chance. The third time, you're out. Then someone says, how could you throw him out of the yeshiva? Zuchus avos. Oh, excuse me. We already, that the zuchus avos is already spent. We already used it up. We already used up the zuchus avos twice. He should have been thrown out of the yeshiva a long time ago. The only reason we kept him here once and twice is because of zuchus avos. So we used it up. It's no longer around. It's been depleted, the zuchus avos. But there's another type of zuchus avos. And that is if the student behaves well, is a good student, a very good student. So now, under normal circumstances, I would give him an A. But because I know where he comes from, the schus of us, I'm giving him an A+. And that A+ does not take away one iota of the merit of the avos. So the Baal HaTorim says here is Adarab, enhances what the Griz says. The Pasuk says, V'choye Ekev Tishmon, if you'll be good people, Klal Yisrael. You'll listen to Samishpotim, V'choye Levushmartim, V'asisim, you know what? v'shomar. The zechus avos in the category that gets depleted, that gets spent up, I'm going to put away in safekeeping. You're not going to have to come on to it. We'll use it for a rainy day. And instead, because you're good people, I'm going to take advantage of the second category of zechus avos. I'm going to give you a bonus. I'm not just going to reward you for what you deserve. I'm not just going to give you an A for the class. I'm going to give you an A plus. V'ahevicha b'schus Avraham. Uveirachicha b'schus Yitzchak. V'erbecha b'schus Yaakov. So the insight is, there are two different categories of what I'm calling, Dr. Fruchter is correct, it's zechus and bris, but there are two different categories of merit from our ancestors, however you want to term it. There's a category which can get depleted if we need to come onto it in an emergency situation. And then there's another category of the merit of our forefathers that never gets depleted. And here the pasuk is beautiful how it comes together. Be good people. If you're good people, you will not have to spend your life savings. You can put away your life savings for another day. And doesn't mean you're not going to benefit from your life savings account. Adarabba, you'll live in your merit and you'll get a lot of bonuses. Okay, that's one vart. Let's now go to another vart. Put it away.
Take it as long as you're not charging me for it. It doesn't come off my back.
Account. Very good. Same idea.
Right.
It's the same idea. Vayachvelo
it tzedaka. If you're doing this as just for goodwill, I'll take it. But if it's going to deplete my bank account, I don't want it.
So that means vayachvelo tzedaka means he's learning that Avraham, not Hashem. The pshusha mikra vayachvelo tzedaka means Hashem said vayachvelo tzedaka. So he's interpreting vayachvelo tzedaka that Avraham said it.
Right.
He's doing two things.
Yeah, no, but he's saying that's right. I'll take it if you're not.
But he's saying it first because he's putting those words in the mouth of Avraham Avinu, not the pshat in the pasuk, which is in the words of Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay, it's very nice, very nice, beautiful. The same idea. Okay, let's go down to another idea. Another
also,
idea.
Whenever we daven, we always want to mat natchinim. We don't want to pay.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So things are exactly.
Amazing. We don't want to say, Hashem, I did all these mitzvahs, so give me this. You're not
exactly. You don't want to lose your merits. Exactly.
Very interesting.
Let's now go to another idea. In this week's parasha, we learn Moshe Rabbeinu reviews the entire sequence of events of the Shviras HaLuchos and the receiving of the new Luchos. There's a major difference between the first set of Luchos and the second set of Luchos. And what is that? The Oroin. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Shemayim with the first set of Luchos in his hands, there was no box to put them in. Hashem did not prepare him in advance. Moshe, come up to Shemayim for 40 days, and I'm going to give you the luchos. But so you, before you come up to Shemayim, you know, you should have ready a box, an oroin, to put them in. No such thing. Come to Shemayim, Moshe comes down, he has in his hands luchos. If Klal Yisrael would not have worshipped the Egel, and Moshe would not have shattered those luchos, what would he do with those luchos? Does anyone know? Doesn't say anywhere. Does not say anywhere. It would seem that he would take the luchos, put them on the table. Right? No box. Put them on the table. Why is our Sefer Torah always locked up in the Aron? Why don't we have it on display 24/7? Keep it on the bima. Keep it on the bima. You're afraid someone's going to steal it? Don't worry, they'll come up with the technology to keep it in place. They'll chain it down to the bima. Why don't we keep the Sefer Torah on the bima open 24/7? Why not? When Moshe came down from Shemayim with the luchos in his hands, there was no oroin to put them in. The assumption is he took the luchos and he was going to put it down on the table. It was before the Mishkan. There was no Mishkan. There was no even plan to make a Mishkan at that point in time.
Well, unless you say
there was. Okay, that's a machloek. Right. Let's learn. So, and even if there was a plan to make the Mishkan, I mean, they didn't make the Aron yet. Even if there was, even if there was a plan, the Aron, the Mishkan was not yet made, according to everyone.
Right.
So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I'm going to take the luchos and we're going to put it on the bima. Everyone can come and look at it. And that's the way it is. When Moshe came down, he ended up shattering the luchos, and then the whole story went about how he had accountability with Shevelei Mila Shemelai. And then Moshe goes to Hashem and says, Mispalu, please forgive them. And after 40 days, okay, I'll forgive you. And now, I'm going to give you a new set of luchos. But here Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, before you come to Shemayim to get the luchos, first of all, you make the luchos. I want you to make them. Psolucha. I'm not giving you another set. You already blew it. I'm not giving you another new tablets. This time, you bring your own tablets. You bring your own notebook this time.
So you came down after the second 40 days, and that's when
yes.
you got the forgiveness, and went
yes.
up the third time to get the
correct,
second set of luchos.
Correct. And when we went out for the third time, Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, I want you to come for the third time, and this time, I'm not giving you tablets. I'm not giving you a notebook. You destroyed the first notebook. So bring your own paper. Okay? Bring your own notebook. Bring your own tablets. Psolucha. And you know what else, Moshe Rabbeinu? This time, before you come up to Shemayim, make sure you got a box. So when you come down, you'll have where to put it. You'll have a place to put the luchos, and there'll be an aron waiting for the luchos to be deposited. What's the pshat? So let me tell you the simple pshat, and then let me tell you a drush. The pshutei shel mikra is the reason when the first luchos were given, the whole world stopped. It says in Chazal, birds were not chirping. Animals were not making a sound. By the giving of the first set of luchos, the whole entire world was paying attention. With that comes a price. The price is ayin hara. Jealousy. People were jealous. What did these people do to deserve to receive the gift of Hashem to receive the Torah? Har Sinai is Miloshon Sina, hatred. There was jealousy. Talk about anti-Semitism in America. There's a lot of different varieties of anti-Semitism. In America, many of the experts tell us it's a different type of anti-Semitism that existed in pre-war. There is a greater degree of jealousy today than there is an element of just hatred for the sake of hatred. Is that true or not? I don't know, but that's what some people want to say. Jealousy. Jealousy creates this jealousy. Whatever, going over that. Jealousy. Ayin hara. Because the whole world was watching. Now, the whole world was watching. And the plan was, when you're going to come down, you're going to take the luchos, you're going to put it on display for the whole world to see. Your success will be displayed in front of the entire world. That contributed to it's the egel. The ayin hara, to a degree, whatever this means, contributed to the fact that they were destroyed. Therefore, to correct the ayin hara, the second time around, when Moshe went to receive the second tablets, no one in the entire world knew what was happening. It was business as usual. Who would know that in the middle of a regular work day, the world is in a state of chaos, that Moshe Rabbeinu happens to be in Shemayim, and Hashem is etching the words onto the tablets, and Moshe came down from Shemayim with a new set of luchos. Who would ever know? There was no ayin hara. Part of there being no ayin hara demands that the luchos is private property. You come down, you put it away in a box, no one gets to see it, except those who need to know. The whole difference between the luchos rishonos and the luchos shniyos was pirsum versus hatsnea leches. And that comes out in the question, in this concept, do the luchos need to be put in a box? The first luchos, no. It goes against the grain of what the first set of luchos are all about. The first set of luchos is all about pirsum, publicity. The second set of luchos is all about hatsnea leches imeloikecha. In every dimension, when Moshe received it, Moshe came down. Even the malachim in Shemayim didn't know what was going on. Came down quietly, still a hate. He comes down under the cover of darkness. And what does he do with it? Hides it. Hides it in an aura. Okay, that is the pshuto shel mikra.
Yeah. Why do we celebrate Shavuot? We should really celebrate Yom Kippur. I mean, we do mention.
Okay, there's a different topic. Because the she'ifa for godless is what Torah is all about. It was a failure. But even though it was a failure in the result, but the she'ifa, the yearning for greatness, is that never went away. Okay? That's really what education, the real educators will teach you. The goal of education is not about a diploma. It's about putting into the mind of a student the yearning of knowledge. He should leave whatever you're teaching, whether you're teaching a person to be a doctor or lawyer. If he comes out of school with a thirst to gobble up every medical journal that ever will come out and to go to every conference in the world to learn about every new little thing, then you have your success. That's a success. Oh, but the student, you got a C in the courses. Every course, you got a C. He's a C student. A success? This student's a failure. He got a C barely with rachmonis. Rachamim gedolim. They let him get a diploma. Be a doctor. He's a danger to society, this doctor. So how do they give him? A success? Well, he has a she'ifa for knowledge. On the other hand, you have a doctor that gets the doctor that got A+ and doesn't want to open up a medical book, a journal for the rest of his life, is nauseated with everything that he learned. He got an A+, graduated Harvard Medical School, top of the class, but is nauseated by the profession, that he got an F. That's a failure. The educators, those people that are responsible for his education, have failed miserably. So the Luchos Rishona, Shavuos, was the she'ifa, the yearning to come close to Hashem, to reach exalted levels of spirituality. That didn't go away. We may have gotten an F on the knowledge, on the application because of what we've done. So no, we got an F for the knowledge, but we still got an A. Nasa v'nishma never went away. Okay, so you make a mistake. Sheva pomim yipol tzadik v'kam. Everyone makes mistakes. That's why you're here in this world, isn't it? Now, let's go back. I told you the pshat. Now let me tell you the drush. This blew my mind. I saw this yesterday in a sefer called Ginzei Nistar. This blew my mind. And he writes it with such conviction. And what I'm saying is not exactly what it says, but I'm just taking his idea. What he said, and I'll tell you my explanation. What he basically says is that the Oroin that Moshe Rabbeinu made was not for the Luchos Shniyos. When Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, come to Shemayim. I have for you now a new set of Luchos. But before you come to Shemayim, I want you to make a box to put away the broken pieces of the Luchos Rishonos. In other words, there was never an intent for there to be an Aron. I never. There was no Aron. Aron, you go to a shul. There was never. This Aron in the shul is just a zecher for the Aron that held the Luchos. This was never meant to be. It was never meant to be this Aron. No such thing. Hashem gave us the first Luchos. There's no Aron. There's a remes to an Aron. No such thing. When Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, come to Shemayim. I'm going to give you a replacement. The replacement is just like the original. The original, there was no Aron. For the second Luchos, there's no Aron. But, you know, the first Luchos are mutul bibizoyon. They've been shattered into pieces. So before you come to Shemayim for the replacement, pick up the broken pieces and give them a dignified burial. Or give them a place. The oroin in the pasuk, and you read the psukim, it's even meduyak this. You have to read the psukim carefully. The oroin was for the luchois rishonais that were shattered. Okay, that's what it says in the sefer. That's all it says there, pretty much. It says a little bit. Now, I want to add to that. Why? What's the purpose? What's the lesson? But it's not necessarily true. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, not only did he put in the Aron the broken pieces of the second tablets, he put in the Aron the new Luchos also. But according to this idea, the whole reason why you made the box was to put away the pieces of the first Luchos. So why did Moshe put in the box both the broken pieces and the new pieces and the new Luchos? So the answer is, I'm trying to suggest, Hashem says, Moshe, okay, you know what? I'm going to give you a new set of Luchos. But what's the purpose? I'll give you a new set of luchos, and you'll come down, a second time, they'll be dancing by another egel. It'll happen all over again. Well, you think it's not going to happen again? Jews love to repeat their mistakes. They love it. They thrive on it. It'll happen again. Hashem said, you're not coming to Shemayim until you learn the lessons of what happened. Taking the broken pieces and putting them in a box is not a burial. It's not a burial. You don't bury it in a box. You bury it in the ground. It's, I want you to collect. I want you to reflect upon what has happened here. You went to Shemayim to get the first luchos. I gave you my luchos. Valuchos masi elokim. You come down. They're worshiping the eagle. What in the world is going on here? What happened over here? What happened? You figure out what happened. Figure out where did you go wrong? And you can dash in the whole day, Vidizahav, whatever it was, because there are lessons to be learned. There is something to be studied, to be analyzed. There are lessons to be learned. Take those lessons and put them away. Not in Gediza, not underground, in a box that is in front of you as a continuous reminder of where we went wrong, we made a mistake, there are lessons to be learned, and now that we have learned the lesson, we're never going to make this mistake again. Only then are you ready to go to Shemayim to receive a new set of luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu takes the old, we learned the lesson, and not only have we learned the lesson, we're going to put now on his own, Moshe Rabbeinu decided, I'm going to put in the box the new luchos. To remind, I want to be moisef what Hashem said. I want it to always be for me and for Klal Yisrael, the new luchos should be together with the old luchos to always remember our mistakes, to remember the lessons of our failure, why we failed, what we did wrong, so it should never happen again, and the second lucha should be always remain complete. Changes everything. When you come to the shul, you see the aron. You know what the aron is? The aron is a reminder that sheva pamim noifel tzadik, we make mistakes in life. We make mistakes. But even though we learn from our mistakes, we preserve our mistakes, we preserve the lessons of our mistakes, and that is the foundation upon which we can build further. If you do not put into the box and hold in front of you the lessons of what you've done wrong in the past and know that it's where it leads you, and know the horrors of what the tragedy of making mistakes, then you're wasting your time. You have to put the old luchos in a box And in that box, you can put then the new luchos to build upon the foundation of the lessons that have been learned through our previous mistakes. Changes the whole new world. Is the box for the new luchos? Is the box for the old luchos? According to the pshat, which is very common, there is pirsum and hatznei lechus. The box is for the new luchos. The old luchos, new. We'll put them away also. We'll put them according to the drash. Pumfakert. There's no need for a box for the new luchos. You need a box for the old luchos to remember, reflect upon where you've gone wrong, not to repeat those mistakes. Okay, let's go now to another idea. Another idea. We have two parashos of Kriyat Shema. Okay, this is the two parashos of Kriyat Shema. And there's a fundamental difference between the beginning of the first parasha and the beginning of the second parasha in regard to the world of v'chol mo'itchem. All of your money, all of your assets. How does Kriya Shema begin? The ohavta you shall love, eis Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha, all of your heart, u'v'chol nafsh, all of your soul, u'v'chol me'odecha, all of your money. Give it all away to Hashem. First parish of Kriya Shema is written b'loshon yochid in the singular. The second parish of Kriya Shema v'chayyo im shemor tishmu el mitzvah sasher nochem etzav eschem chayyom le'ahava to love es Hashem lokechem uli avdo to serve him b'chol levavchem b'chol nafshechem. What happened to uv'chol ma'odchem? Money. The tzibur should give away all of its money to serve Hashem. Where did the money go? Who took the money? It's a scandal. Who took the money out of V'chol Oichem V'chaya Im Shamaya? So there are Mamari Chazal that discuss this. Let's just jump to the Drush. There are different pshatim that for the tzibur you can't demand that much. From the Yochid, there are different Perushim. I'm not fluent in the. I didn't prepare the pshat, unfortunately, well enough to express it. But there are different Perushim. Look at Rashi. Look at the Mefarshim. It tells you why in the first parasha it makes mention of Chol, all of your wealth by the Tzibur. You know, Chos Hatoyro Chos Al Nemoinon Shel Yisrael. When it comes to the Tzibur, Hashem was not demanding to tax. Okay, that's the pshat. A yochid has an obligation to go the extra mile. But the tzibur, you don't just go and clean out the bank account of the shul and tax everyone for just whatever whim comes your way. You don't do that. You have to have a Torah chas al memoinon shel yisrael for the tzibur. Okay, now let me tell you a beautiful drush I saw. I want to build upon this drush. I think I saw this also. I don't even know where I saw this. Maybe it was in the Ginzei Nistaris. Maybe it was there. Maybe it was in another sefer, which I'm thinking about. But the idea is, the reason why it says here, b'chol levavecha, b'chol nafshecha, navchol miyodecha, is because it's already part of our DNA. What do we mean, our DNA? When Avraham Avinu offered Yitzchak upon the Akedah, upon the Mizbeach, at the Akedah, and Yitzchak was willing to proceed and to go ahead with it, that created, okay, it's not easy to understand exactly what this means scientifically, but this is something which is very popular, Chazal, it created in our essence the ability to give up our neshama for Hashem. But in other words, before the time, today in the Holocaust, 6 million people died al Kiddush Hashem. And many of them died saying the word Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. How did that happen? So the commentators say this idea, I mean, it's a little bit of a dangerous idea, but they say the reason why 6 million people were able to say Shema Yisrael, many of them, before they died, was because someone did it before them. Yitzchak did it before them. When Avraham took Yitzchak to the Akedah and Yitzchak was willing to say Shema Yisrael, that created a power in the neshama, in the spirit of the nation, a koyach to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad to do Akedah Hashem. If Yitzchok would not have gone through the Akedah, you know, there was no obligation to do. The Sfas Emes says Kach No Ein No Ela Loshon Bakasha. Avram, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. You don't have to. Only if you want, you do it. If you don't want, then don't do it. If there would not have been an Akedah, then it's not muchroch, no one knows, but it's not muchroch that Jews would die with the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad on their lips. They would die, they'd be killed, they'd have a choice, they'd be killed. But to die with such an attitude of Kiddush Hashem, it would not come easy to a Jew because there would be no precedent. It's only because the Yitzchak Avinu put in, and Avram put this into us. Avram also died, a kid that was willing to die. He was thrown into the Kivshna Ish. He was thrown into the furnace because he did not want to bow down to Nimrod. So it's part of our DNA. Therefore, the Torah demands this of us. The Torah is not coming to demand of Klal Yisrael something that's not fair. Torah does not, that's a rule that a Chazal say over and over again. The Torah is not coming to make your life miserable. That's a terrible thing. People, they look at the Torah and they say to themselves that if I'm not miserable, it means I'm not religious. It's a sickness. It's a real sickness. The Torah is not here to make your life miserable. It's a davar poshut ad ma'od. If the Torah says to you, love Hashem b'chol levavecha, all of your heart and all of your neshama, it's because it's natural to you. I'm not making your life miserable. Someone already did it for you. Avraham and Yitzchak. It's a very great thing. It's a very hard thing. It's a very hard thing. Who can do it? Who can even fathom doing such a thing? Who can imagine? We can't even begin to fathom what people went through before us. Okay? But the Torah tells us it's in your neshama. Why doesn't it say in the pasuk v'chol mo'oidchem? So here is something incredibly insightful that it says in this sefer. Incredibly insightful. Because no one ever paved the way for us to give up all of our money. Never happened that there was a story in Tanakh where there was a nesoyin, give up all of your money, the nation, Klal Yisrael, give up all of your money in honor of Hashem. Never happened. It never happened in Jewish history, such a thing. So therefore, for us to start now and to love Hashem as a tzibur with all of our wealth, you're asking too much of us. It's not natural to us because no one ever came along and paved the way for us in this matter like we have by the Akedah. This is what I saw in the Sefer, and that's where the Vart ends. Immediately, I said to myself, this is not true. I said to myself, this is not true. Vayivoser Yaakov Levadoi. Rashi says, the night before he went to meet Esav, he forgot pachim kitanim, plastic bottles. In our day and age, you would translate them, you know, for 5 cent deposit. Okay, he wanted to go back to the supermarket and bring in a few little cans to get his 5 cents back. So what did he do? He literally risked his life. He crossed over the Yarden in the middle of the night all alone for 5 cent Pepsi Cola cans. So he can go to the supermarket on the other side of the Yarden tomorrow morning and get 25 cents. What? Does that make one bit of sense to any of us? It doesn't make one bit of sense. What did Chazal say? Chazal's talk doesn't make any sense. So why did he do it? You don't understand. You don't understand Yaakov. You don't understand him. Yaakov, how did he pay for those Pepsi Cola cans to begin with? When he bought for his children a Pepsi Cola and he put money into the machine, where did Yaakov get those quarters? Government subsidies? Food stamps? Did he get it from a business deal that's, you know, a little questionable.
With Lovell.
Lovell was hard-earned sweat money. He said he didn't sleep for 14 years. Every penny that Yaakov Avinu earned was earned with the utmost ethics and honesty and correctness. Every penny. He didn't just, oh, you know, I come into a job, if nothing, I come a little bit late, I leave a little bit early, they have nothing for me to do, so I play with my phone the whole day. Yeah, I get this, I get that. No, no, that's not the way, that's the way we live. I mean, that's the way we show, that's how it is. This is the way, it is what it is. I'm not coming chas v'shalom. It is what it is. Yaakov Avinu lives in a whole different world. A whole different world. Every penny he had came with an extreme degree of, I earned this. I earned this money. I did something to deserve it. Therefore, a can of Pepsi has a whole new reality to Yaakov Avinu that we can't even fathom. He paid for it with real money that he earned. And therefore, I don't just let it go to waste. I don't let it go to waste. That's right. I'm Moiser Nefesh, the Pashut. I earned it. It's my property. It's the real deal. It's a whole different mindset. So tell me, Yaakov Avinu did not put into Klal Yisrael a midah of Uvechol Me'oitechem. Just like Yitzchak Avinu went to the Akedah, and Avram went to the Kivshon Oesh, and they put into the DNA of Klal Yisrael Uvechol Nafshecha. Yaakov Avinu worked for 14 years by Lavan, and to prove the degree of his honesty, his integrity, his ethics, he was Moiser Nefesh in the middle of the night to travel to put himself in danger to retrieve a few cans, because those cans had a whole different value for him, because they were earned honestly, with integrity, and with the highest degree, highest standards of ethics. So he did put it into us. So we should say in the Kriya Shema, Hashem is not asking too much of us to say, what's the answer? So I want to suggest that the Vart is solid as gold, and that explains our original question. Why in the first parsha of Kriya Shema does it say, and in the first parasha it says, V'chol me'odecha. Hashem can ask from you more than is expected. So here it does say V'chol me'odecha, here it does not say. The answer is, now you have to be a little creative to accept what I'm saying is correct, and you may need to fill in some of the gaps. The pasuk is very clear. Vayivoser Yaakov livado. Yaakov was all alone. Yaakov had with him 70 souls, right? It says that when he went to Eretz Yisrael, his children, that's later. Vayivaser Yaakov levadoi. The pasuk emphasizes this madrega of Yaakov Avinu when he went back. It's not for everyone. Not everyone can adhere to the extremely high standards of Yaakov. And you come to a job, and there's nothing for you to do, so you get paid. You get to pay the same way, because that's what they hired you. They hired you to be here. Yaakov would say, well, I'm here, so I'm there. I give back half my salary, because you did not have enough work for me today. I mean, today, that's not acceptable. Okay, Yaakov had extremely high standards. Vayivoser Yaakov levado. Vayeovik ish imoy. There was an ish, one person, the Msar fought imo with him. It was a one-on-one wrestling match. Yaakov Avinu did not present these standards representing the whole Klal Yisrael. Because the whole Klal Yisrael can't adhere to extreme standards like this. You have to be honest. No, don't talk about MS. And not talking about Geza. We're talking about extreme degrees. Yitzchak and Yaakov Avinu, even though they were also individuals, but the Maisa Akeda, beyond a shadow of a doubt, was an act on behalf of the nation. It was Klal Yisrael. This was Ki biYitzchak Yikorei Lecha Zera, Zara. This was an act of Mesiras Nefesh, of Kiddush Hashem, for Klal Yisrael as a nation, as a tzibur. The whole Nusach of the Tefillin Rosh Hashanah says this over and over. The whole, to remember this, the Akedah, it's Klal Yisrael. The Dinei Mimnoinois of the Mesiras Nefesh for the Pachim Kitanim. Vayivosa Yaakov Levado, it's for Yechidim. It's not for the tzibur as a whole. Every yochid has to do what he has to do to raise his standards a little bit higher. Klal Yisrael as a whole, it's not in our DNA. Klal Yisrael as a whole never was challenged to and never succeeded to put this into our DNA. So the end of the day is, what is the vart? Hashem only asks from us something reasonable. If we've already been there and done it, so it's easy. It's expected. We have discussing two different elements here. Mesiras Nefesh to die al Kiddush Hashem, and Mesiras Nefesh, extreme degrees of property, of dealing with mammon, dedicating the mammon to Hashem, dealing with dinei mammonos, extreme degrees. Hashem can only ask us to go to an extreme. I'm not talking about MS. I'm not talking about theft. I'm talking about everything is 100% above and beyond. We're talking about extremes. Hashem can only ask us to do extremes, something which is natural to us. Mimela, when it comes to Mesiras Nefesh, it's natural. Because we've been there, done it. Akeda Kivshan Ha'esh. That was an act for the nation. Ki biYitzchak Yikorei L'chazara Klal Yisrael. Dinei Mimoinois. We've been there, done that, but not as a tzibur, as a yoch. Vayivoser Yaakov Levado, alone. Yaakov accomplished great things. He put it into our DNA. As individuals, he put it into our DNA. Not as a tzibur. Yaakov did not ask his wives and his children to come with him across the Yarden. They should also go back and take their pachim katana. Maybe his wives also. Rachel, Leah, Bill, and Zilba didn't leave a bottle on the other side. They didn't forget a box of diapers for the children. They didn't forget some formula on the other side. Mestam, they also left things on the other side of the river. They didn't go back. He put into Klal Yisrael Mesiras Nefesh as an individual, not necessarily as a tzibur. Memela, in the first parsha of Kriya Shema, it's within expectation. The expectation is V'yohavta Eis Hashem b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshcha v'chol me'oidecha, because the first parsha of Kriya Shema is for the yochid. The second parsha of Kriya Shema is for the tzibur. Okay, I boys, just to wind down. Just to tell you the last thing, and that is this week we're going to read Birchas Achodesh, and we ask for Yirah Shemayim three times. Okay, we ask for Yirah Shemayim, Yiras. Shemayim, Yiras Chet, and Nochamal Yiras Shemayim. Three mentions of Yira. But this Shabbos is unique of all the weeks of the entire year, more so than any other time you mevarich the Chodesh when it comes to Elul, because you're really going to ask for Hashem for Yira four times. Why? Because the Pasuk says, in this week's parasha, Umo Hashem Eloikecha Shoyl Meimach Kim Liyira Oisai. Shabbos Mevorchim Elol is usually, if not always, Parshas Akef. And in Akev, you read the pasuk that says, Umo Hashem Elokecha Shoyl Mimachim Liyira Oisai. And then comes the Birchas Rosh Chodesh. We ask for Yira three times. Yira Shemayim, Yira Shechidim, Yira Shemayim. It's a higher darg of Yira Shemayim that we need this month than all of the other months. Because this is the month of the Yimei HaDin. And the Yimei HaDin, it was choreographed. A hashgacha that it should come out b'davka a four times. A greater intensive Yerushalayim, a reminder at least of Yerushalayim, more so this week than any week, as we enter into the Yimei HaDin. Wish you all a wonderful and successful Shabbos.
שמה דקוצה ברחו לכן לא מקום ברחת של דשחת אנא מתדם לכן בא בלואמה אני סואל בעד הבנו בתלמידון הכל תלמידי תלמידון כל מה ואז מלא תדבי עדון וכל עדון ואתו יהיו כמו שנה בכם טוב ונחמים אני חמדוני פורחנו